Good morning, BFC. Man, you guys are pumped up. I was going to ask you, like, did you come expecting? I think you did. You know, we don't come to church like we're going to a movie theater where I'm just coming to watch a show, hear a talk, just be a spectator. We come to church to lean in, to engage. I don't know about you this morning, but I am planning to encounter God today. Is this the right group this morning? Amen, amen. Well, I want to first of all just say thank you to Pastors Jeff and Beth for asking me to speak this morning. It's such an honor and a privilege, and I really have been looking forward to this brand new series in December called Wonder. You know, Einstein once remarked that a person who no longer pauses to wonder is as good as dead. If there was ever a time and a people that should pause in awe, amazement, wonder at how our God brought our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, to this earth with his amazing redeeming grace, it should be us as Christians at Christmas time. Amen. So I'm really excited to kick off week one of this series where we're going to pause and talk about the wonder of a promise. To me, one of the greatest examples in the Word of God of someone who had a revelation of the wonder of a promise was Mary. She's one of our, to me, greatest biblical examples of someone who received a promise of God in her heart, and then she birthed that promise, Jesus Christ. So here's my desire for you this Christmas. I want you to get pregnant like Mary. Now, I know you're like, whoa, hold on, time out. That is not the word I wanted this morning. I don't want to have a baby. Well, turn to your neighbor and say, take a deep breath. She's not talking about a physical pregnancy. No, what I'm talking about this morning is us getting spiritually pregnant with a promise from God where you birth that promise this coming year. Amen. Now think about that. Think about your life right now. What is the greatest need that you have? Do you need a vehicle? Do you need a job? Do you need peace for your mind? Do you need reconciliation in a relationship that you have? Do you need finances? Do you need healing in your body? Now, if that doesn't resonate with you, maybe it's the desire of your heart. What's the greatest desire that you have in your heart? Do you desire maybe this year to meet a mate? Maybe you want to get married. Maybe like Mary, you want to physically get pregnant and have a child. What is it that you need and or desire? Now, I want you to picture that coming to pass this coming year. You actually birthing that promise. How exciting is that? So this morning, we're going to take a look at the life of Mary. I want us to look at her life, and I want us to see three stages in her pregnancy, where she conceived the promise, that's stage one, then where she was in expectant mode. Because once a woman conceives a baby on the inside, then we call her, she's expecting. So what do we do in that expectation mode that's actually going to bring the third stage, which is delivery? So if you've got your Bible today or your iPhone, let's go over to Luke chapter 1. Let's look at stage 1, the conception stage. Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to start here with verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." Now let's just pause a second there. Here Mary is. She's just living her life. And as she's living her life, all of a sudden she has a visitation from an angel, from Gabriel. And Gabriel comes in and says, "Hey, Mary, you are favored of God." And he then gives her a promise. He says to her, "You're going to conceive and bear a son, and you are going to name him Jesus." Then he goes on to say, He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, well, how can this be since I don't know a man? Now I find this interesting. When the angel is talking to Mary, he gives her the promise. Now, what she doesn't do is she doesn't reject the promise. She doesn't say that the promise isn't true. She just asks a legitimate question, a logistical question. How's that going to happen? Now, we got to remember, Mary is betrothed to Joseph. So she does, I'm sure her parents had the birds and bees conversation with her. So she knows how that's supposed to happen. So she's like, well, hold on. I haven't known anyone. I haven't been intimate with anyone. How's that going to take place? And the angel reassures her. Verse 35. The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Underline, highlight that on your phone, in your Bible. We're going to come back to that. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. So here we see Angel Gabriel coming. He gives Mary a promise. Mary doesn't reject the promise. Mary doesn't say, hold on, I don't think that that's true. Mary doesn't say, time out. You sure you got the right girl? I'm just an ordinary girl. There must be somebody else a little more spiritual in town you could have picked. No, she doesn't say any of that. What does she say? She says, look, here's the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. She believed the word of God. She received the word of God in her heart. And when she did that, the Holy Ghost was able to come on and overshadow her. And what happened? She became pregnant with a promise. Now, this is a specific word for Mary, but I want you to know the process of conception is the same for us today. She is our prototype. So let's look at this. I want to get real practical. How do we as believers get pregnant with a promise? How do we conceive the promise of God in our own lives? Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. The first thing that you and I are going to need to do is we're going to need to find the promise. Find the promise. Whatever that need was that you thought about earlier in the service, whatever that desire was that came up in your heart, you're going to need to take time to get in the Word of God. Find a promise. You need to get the seed so that you can conceive. 1 Peter chapter 1, let's read this. Verse 23, for you have been born again, that is reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for his purpose, not of seed which is perishable, but from that which is imperishable and immortal, that through the living and everlasting word of God. This verse tells us that the word of God, the scripture, the promise is a spiritual seed. You need to get the word. You need to get a scripture. You need to get a promise. Because the awesome thing is when you take that seed, that word of God, you plant it in your heart, it has all the power within it to bring it to pass. Now, I think this is amazing. We're reading this story about Mary, and we're reading, you know, how Gabriel came to her, and then we go on and read about Elizabeth. But smack dab in the center of that, verse 37, it says, for with God, there's nothing impossible. Now, we can get excited and go, yes, praise God, that's true. And it is true. But why is that right in the middle of a story? Well, sometimes we read that in the King James, and we can miss the power that's in that scripture. This scripture, verse 37, literally tells us the power that's in a promise from God. I want to read it from the Amplified, verse 37. For with God, nothing is ever impossible. I don't know what you thought of at the beginning of service, what the need was, what the desire was in your life, how that situation may look, but I want you to know this morning there is nothing impossible for our God. He can turn it around. He can flip it upside down. He can bring his word to pass in your life. There is nothing impossible for our miracle-working God. Now, why is that true? Because it says, for no word from God, no promise from God, no spiritual seed, no scripture will be without power or impossible of fulfillment. The power of God, his faith is in the word of God. God watches over his word to perform it. But it's not just enough to get in the word and find a promise. You're going to have to pull out the scriptures pertaining to your situation, whatever it is you were desiring, whatever it is was the greatest need in your life, find some scriptures, but they got to come off the pages of the Bible and they've got to get into your heart. All right, so we're talking about conception. How do we conceive the word of God? I've got to find my scripture, but then I've got to get it in my heart. And how do we get the word of God in our heart? You're going to get the word of God in your heart as you meditate on the word of God. Now, when we use that word meditate, I think sometimes we think Eastern religion. I'm not talking about let's all, you know, squat down and start humming together today. I'm talking the Bible definition of meditate. The Bible definition of meditate means to mutter, to speak over and over again, to ponder, to mull it around on the inside. You see, when we take those scriptures and we write them down, we put them in our notes on our iPhone, we begin to meditate the scriptures, that's when the Holy Spirit takes partnership with you and he comes and he makes that word alive on the inside of your heart. Now, sometimes I think we rush this part of the conception process because it's like, oh, bless God, I've got my 30 scriptures. Yay. It's not about having 30 scriptures because honestly, you can get one word from God and it'll change your life. It's not about how many times you're confessing that scripture over and over again. It's about you meditating on that scripture. It's about you processing that in your heart. It's about the Holy Ghost bringing it alive on the inside of you. It's about you saying it over and over again because you're going to believe what you say faster than you'll believe anybody else. Because as you begin to speak that word of God over and over, faith is going to rise up because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Praise God. We want that word to become so big on the inside of us. Like Mary, we say, be it done unto me according to your word, Lord, where I am not staggering at the promise of God. And let's be honest, sometimes you stagger. When you first read a promise, it's like, whoa, I don't know how that's going to happen. But you stay in the word until you get fully persuaded that God is able to perform it. Now, once we've conceived the word in our heart, then the environment is ready for conception to take place. Now, when my husband and I were trying to get pregnant years ago, they didn't have ovulation kits like they've got nowadays. Now, you can get an ovulation kit and you can find out, is everything ready for pregnancy? Can we conceive tonight? But that's not... But that is similar to what it's like in the word of God. Once you believe God's word in your heart, then you're ready to conceive. And that's where we're going to believe we receive the promise. Let's go over to Mark chapter 11. And I want us to look at the scripture. And now this is a familiar scripture to us, but guys, we've got to ask ourselves, how much am I doing this scripture? Because honestly, this would be a scripture that you should be doing all the time in your life. So we've conceived the word of, or the word of God's in our heart. We believe it. Now we want to have conception take place. Everything's ready for that to happen. Mark 11, 24. How do we do that? Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. All right, let's talk about this. What did Jesus promise from this scripture we would have? Okay, someone up front said, what we pray for. That is not what Jesus promised we'd receive. All right? What we desire. That is not what Jesus promised we'd receive. Now, guys, why are we looking at the scripture? Because we got to get revelation of this. Jesus did not promise that you would have what you pray for. He did not promise you'd have what you ask for. He did not promise you'd have what you desire. All good guesses. The only thing that Jesus promised you would have is what you believe you receive when you pray. That's the only thing he said. That's the only thing that he promised. This is huge for us Because in this scripture, there are two points of time. The first point of time is when I'm in prayer, I believe I receive it right then and there. That is present tense. Now, when I am praying and I am going to believe God for something, I believe I receive it, I literally picture myself reaching up and taking it from the Lord. Because the word receive in that scripture is the Greek word lambano, and it literally means to take it right now, to receive it right now. So if I'm praying, I reach up, I receive it right now. Thank you, God. Present tense. Faith is now. Now, the other portion of the scripture is the future tense. That's where the word says, and you shall have them. I love this scripture because it's, I have conception day. I believe I receive the promise from God. But then future tense is delivery day. Now, Mary, when she conceived, she didn't deliver Jesus the very next day. No, there was a duration of time that happened. Amen. Now, the bummer is, with a natural birth, we know we've got 40 weeks. Praise God. I know when due date is coming. I know when delivery day is coming. I got 40 weeks. But spiritually speaking, we don't have a predictable time frame of 9 months. It could be days. It could be weeks. It could be months. It could be years between the day I conceived and the delivery day. But I want you to know delivery day is coming. Now, let's just look at this practically. Maybe when I asked you what your greatest need was this morning, maybe you said, you know what, I need $100 for my electric bill. So how do I put this into practice in my everyday life? Well, you get into the Word of God, you find your promise. Philippians 4:19. My God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I'm going to meditate on that scripture. So that scripture becomes so big on the inside of me. And man, I see God doing that. And then I go to God in prayer and I say, Father, I see in your word the promise you gave me is you will supply all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, I need $100 for the electric bill. I believe I receive the $100 for the electric bill right now. Conception has happened. And then I start thanking God. Man, if God gives you something, I respond thanking him. And so I start thanking him. Now, do I have the money in my hand? No. Do I have the $100? No. But guys, that time between conception and delivery is where we walk by faith. So I believe I receive it. Delivery day is coming. I will get $100. And you know what? I'm not even going to focus on the delivery day because that's God's job. My job is to believe I receive it. God's job is to deliver it. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Well, let's take a look now at the expectancy stage. Once we believe we receive it and I have conceived the promise, in this time frame between that and delivery day is what I would say is the expectancy stage. Now, when a woman is expecting, what do we do in that time frame? Well, when I'm expecting a promise of God, and I think this is probably one of the most crucial times for us as believers. The first reason I think that this is a crucial time and super important and probably one of the toughest times is because of the world in which we live, because of society. The world has us conditioned to think that everything is instant. Everything's instant. We've got fast food. I go through the drive-thru, 30 seconds to get a burger and fries. Everything's fast. Technology, instant text, instant email, instant this, instant that. Even at Christmas time, we've got all the delivery services. We can get it to you in 3 days. No, we too. No, I can overnight it to you. So it's conditioned us to think that God operates the same way. But I want you to know God doesn't operate the same way. It's first the blade, then the ear in the blade, then the kernel of corn in the ear. It's a progression with God. It doesn't happen instantaneously. And if you don't know that, you can get disillusioned, you can get disheartened, you can get discouraged to go, bless God, I prayed 2 days ago. Why hasn't God moved? And it gets us off the promise. It gets us discouraged. It can frustrate us, and we go, man, God doesn't care. The word doesn't work. But I want you to know there's always a time frame in there. The other thing we've got to realize is you have an enemy that his job is to steal the promise from your heart. Mark chapter 4. When the word goes forth, the Bible says he immediately comes to steal the word out of your heart. And usually the way he does it is by sending contrary circumstances. So when you look at that promise, I mean, things will go from bad to worse, or things look like they're never going to turn around. There's not been a change whatsoever. He's trying to get you to do what? Back off. He's trying to have you lose your expectancy. He wants to destroy your expectation in God's word. You know, back to the illustration of me receiving the $100 for the electric bill. You believe you receive the $100 for the electric bill. The next thing you know, the car breaks down. Your spouse comes home and says, man, I got pink slipped at work today. What's he trying to do? He's trying to get you to give up, to cave in, to say it doesn't work. He wants you to start complaining about the situation instead of saying, you know what? Hold on. God's word says, if I don't get weary, I don't cave in, I don't give up, due season's coming, I will reap. So let's go over to Luke chapter 1. We're going to go down a little bit farther in this chapter. During this critical stage of expectancy, what did Mary do to nurture and protect the promise of God that she had on the inside? How did she keep her expectancy high while she waited for her due season? Now remember, Mary's young. She shows up pregnant. She's not married. How many of you think Mary could have used some encouragement? Maybe some confirmation. I believe she could. And unfortunately, I don't think she could go to Joseph for that. Now, I believe Joseph loved Mary, but Joseph himself needed his own encouragement. I mean, hello, my future wife has just told me she's pregnant. It's not my child. I think Joseph had his own issues to deal with. He needed to be encouraged himself. But I love what Mary chose to do. Mary made a decision at this most critical time, right after conception. She makes the decision to go visit her cousin Elizabeth, who had had a similar experience that Mary had. Now let's look at this. Let's start with verse 39. And Mary rose up in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah. Look, she did that on purpose, and she hustled over there. She didn't stick around in the environment she was in with the naysayers, the people that thought, you know, she probably had lost her mind. What, God used you? There's no way. That promise? No, I don't think that's good. She didn't stay there. She went to go see Elizabeth. Let's jump down to verse 44. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped within my womb for joy. Now look what Elizabeth says to her. And blessed is she that believed, past tense, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told to her from the Lord. Praise God. I believe when she spoke that word of encouragement to Mary, that it brought a stability to her, that it enabled Mary to wait for her due season. Well, I want you to know this morning that God has Elizabeth for you. I believe that on your course, that God has Elizabeth, that he wants to send your way to bring encouragement to you, to speak life into you, to preach to you, to hold on, that God is going to bring his word to pass in your life. I truly believe that. This is one of the number one reasons you need to be at church. Like, seriously, why do I come to church everywhere? Because I believe God has got a word of encouragement for me. Whether it's coming through Pastor Jeff and Beth or whoever's preaching on the stage, it may be through a song on the stage, it may be through a conversation you have out in the atrium, it may be through your V-Crew huddle. Come on! That's why you come to church! We got a church full of Elizabeths that God wants to work through to minister to you. You know, we had a couple in our church, they really sensed that in their journey with the Lord, that the Lord was calling them to go overseas, to move. And so they were making preparation for that. And I was sitting right at this table one Sunday morning, and the person that was preaching up up here had this huge long portion of scripture they were reading. It's part of their message. And I'm just minding my own business, taking notes, not bothering anybody. And all of a sudden, as we're reading those scriptures, one of the scriptures just kind of is like highlighted. And what bubbles up in my heart, the Lord said, I want you to share that scripture with them, because the minute they get on the plane to when they land and the whole time they're there, I'm going to support them. And I'll tell you, I had never seen that scripture. Now, I've read the Bible, but I'd never seen that scripture. And I'm looking at that scripture going, oh, my goodness, Lord, that like so perfectly, only you could do that. Like, that's just a perfect scripture. So I just, right there during service, just said, Lord, give me an opportunity to share it with them, and I'll just obey you. So a couple days later, got an opportunity. The two of them were together, and I said, do you mind if I just share something that happened in service with me? Now, I didn't say, thus saith the Lord. You know what I mean? I just said, hey, do you mind if I just share what happened in service? And so I said, you know, basically shared what happened, and I said, here's the scripture. I said, it's an incredible scripture. And so I just shared it with them, and they both were very moved, and they're like, thank you so much for sharing that. It's so encouraging to us. And the wife said this. She goes, you'll never know. That is one of the scriptures that I'm believing God for. I've been standing on. I wouldn't have known that. I had no idea. But you know what? I just was going to be an Elizabeth. Just came to church on assignment that day from God. Just be an Elizabeth. I mean, look at this church, guys. Look at all the people. If we all came saying, I'm on assignment, I'm going to be an Elizabeth today, what could God do? I mean, you're small group leaders. They want to be an Elizabeth. I was in a small group. This was a couple years back, and there was a couple in that group that I'd never met before. And so I like going to the small groups to just meet people. And so I'm just participating in a discussion like everybody else. And towards the end of that group, the leader was going to ask people if they had any prayer requests. And so I'm just sitting there, again, minding my own business, and all of a sudden bubbles up on the inside of me, pray the prayer of Jabez over that man. Now, can I be honest with you? I have not thought about the prayer of Jabez since the book came out. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. But when that rose up in my heart, I knew what the Lord was talking about. So I said to the gentleman, I said, do you mind if I pray the Jabez prayer over you? He's like, sure, you know. So I just, right there in the group, I just prayed, God, I just ask you to increase his territory. Well, within a week, he contacts me in the office. He says, hey, can my wife and I come talk to you? I said, sure, what's going on? He said, my boss is contacting me, and they want to send me overseas. They want to, get this, increase my territory. Praise God. I'm telling you what, when you're making life decisions, don't you want an Elizabeth to come alongside to encourage you in your faith that God can do what he promised? Now, you may say, well, you're a pastor. No, I'm a Christian. That didn't happen because I'm a pastor. It happened because I'm a Christian. God is not looking for you having some super, you know, super ability. God's not looking for ability. God's looking for availability. He says, will you let me interrupt your life so I can use you to minister to somebody else? All right, let's close on this second thing. The second thing that Mary did is in the verse 46 of the same portion of scripture. It says, then Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. What do you do when you're in this time frame of conception to delivery? You magnify and worship the Lord. Mary knew that secret. She knew if I would magnify and worship the Lord, what's going to happen is it's going to ground me in my faith. It's going to give me the strength I need to deliver the promise of God. This is so key in this waiting period, guys, because when days turn into weeks and weeks turn into months and months turn into years, you've got to have something that's going to keep your faith strong to deliver. And Mary began to magnify the Lord. When I think about that word magnify, I think about a magnifying glass. It just makes it bigger. Now, we're not making God literally bigger. What changes is your vision of God gets bigger. Your vision of God gets bigger. Because we can sit there and look at our circumstance. We can look at the need we have. We can look at the desire of our heart and just go, man, I am staggering at the promise. I don't know how God's going to do that. But if you're doing that, if your vision is on your problem and your situation, you're always going to look at it in accomplishing it through your strength and your ability. But when you change your focus and get it on God, you are now looking at the one who is well able to perform it, who will do it abundantly above what you can ask, hope, or think. We got to change that focus. Now, there was another couple in the Bible, Abraham and Sarah, who had to do the same thing. Man, they had a duration. From the moment God gave Abraham a promise that he was going to be the father of a multitude till the day of delivery, it was 25 years. What did they do to be strengthened on the inside? Romans chapter 4, we'll conclude with this scripture, verse 19. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. But get this, he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform it. You see, Abraham had two choices. Choice one is he could sit there and look at his body, 100 years old. He could look at his wife's body, Sarah. She had a dead womb. She'd never had a child before. Not only that, she's already gone through menopause. How many of you think that looks like an impossible situation? But the Bible says, had Abraham stayed focused on that, he would have weakened in his faith. You're going to have strong faith to apprehend the promise of God. But instead, he on purpose chose to do what? It says he began to give glory to God. And as he did that, his faith was strengthened. He didn't ignore the facts of what condition him and his wife were in. He just chose to look at something different. He chose to keep his eyes focused on the one that could change it all, our God. Well, I'll tell you what, when we magnify and worship God, not only will it strengthen, one translation of that verse says it empowers your faith. It'll strengthen and empower your faith to apprehend the promise of God. But the other thing that happens when you begin to worship, praise, and magnify God is it creates an environment for God to work. It creates an environment for God to be able to get everything ready for your delivery.